Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. First thing I'd like to briefly mention is I tried to do a social media fast that would last till Easter, and it didn't pan out, unfortunately. However, if you would like to get a hold of me now, and you want me to check it, you can feel free to reach out on the social media platforms again, Facebook at Jesse's Fireside Chats, and on X at JFSCPod. You could always do so before. I never said you couldn't. I just had said that I wasn't going to check them for a while, but I will be now. It's been nice to take a bit of a two-week social media fast, sort of at least somewhat unplug from all the like mindless scrolling, the bickering, the just bombardment with information and stimuli, I guess. So there's that. The first thing I'd like to mention is the Snow White movie is happening, apparently. I say that in that way because I genuinely could not give two craps, pardon my language, about Disney if I tried. I was never a big Disney princess person, except for a brief phase I went through, which I think, looking back, was mainly because all my friends were going through a princess phase. Anyhow, the only thing I'm going to say about Snow White, because others have already covered most of it, and I don't want to just repeat the same things they've already said. But the only thing I will say is that on one of my shows, they played a clip of that new Echo song on the movie. I don't know what the song's actually called, but it's about hearing an echo. Only thing I'll say is people have already commented on the song being trash, and it is. But what I've not heard any of them say is that the echo, 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 echo part sounds like a freaking bird call. Which is very jarring. Because, last I checked, this was not a bird movie. So why are there freaking bird calls in this movie? What is with that? Don't know. Don't really care, to be honest. Just, it's a bit, I could see it being a bit jarring for anybody that actually goes to this movie. Then the next thing I'd like to briefly mention here is the whole idea of buy now, pay later. Somebody was talking about the idea that DoorDash is now teaming up with one of these buy now, pay later services. And they've already covered the DoorDash story specifically. So I'm not going to beat that horse to death. Instead, I'm going to talk more generally about my thoughts on this buy now, pay later stuff. I think it's stupid. I think credit cards are dumb. I think the encouraging people to go into debt to engage in mindless consumerism is dumb. I don't have anything against capitalism itself. I'm not a socialist crazy person. I was at one point. I'm not going back. Don't worry. I just think that this whole idea of going into debt when you don't need to is, it's stupid, it's unhealthy, and it's indicative of a trend, because I'm going to guess that there's going to be at least some overlap between the people who will use this new DoorDash financing system and the people who use the already existing buy now, pay later stuff with things like Klarna and Affirm and all that. I'm going to guess there's at least somewhat of an overlap between those people and the people who want student loan forgiveness after spending 7 years majoring in hula dancing and brushing their teeth with the handle of the toothbrush. I'm going to guess there's at least some overlap. Now, it's probably not 100% one-to-one overlap. Actually, I know it's not. Because I know some people who, and they're not bad people, I just think that it's their money, and everybody on the left is like, oh, well, it's their money, they can do what they want, yeah, which, true, It is their money at the end of the day. I have a lot of thoughts on the way to spend money, and I know I'm not like an economist, but I'm allowed to have my own thoughts, regardless of what the trust the experts people might say. I just think it's dumb to go into debt for things you don't really need. I think you should try not to go into too much debt, just as a matter of just a general rule of thumb. You have people going into debt to buy the latest game system or the latest iPhone or the latest this and that. And it's like, why? Why do you do that to yourself? That's so dumb. And yes, it's their money. I know that. Doesn't mean that it's not dumb. It's just like people that buy a new car every 2 years. I never understood that. It's like, do you never want to ever have a paid off car ever? Yeah, it's their car. It's their money. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily a smart way to spend your money. I mean, you are legally allowed to beat your head directly into the side of a wall over and over and over and over again for 3 hours straight. Or hit yourself on the head with a frying pan for 3 hours on end. As far as I am aware, there could be some law out there. There's a lot of dumb laws out there, and there's a lot of laws out there that are obscure. But as far as I'm aware, there is no law in Indiana or federally that says you are prohibited from beating yourself in the head with a frying pan for 3 hours on end. There's a law saying you can't beat somebody else in the head with one. That's called assault. But I'm pretty sure if it's against yourself, doesn't really count because you can't sue yourself. I guess you technically can call the police on yourself, but if you've already knocked yourself out by beating yourself with a frying pan, I don't see how you're going to do that. Now, can you? I'm sure somebody somewhere has figured out how to do so. Anyhow, before I get us into the weeds, what I'm trying to say here is, as far as I am aware, now again, could be wrong, but as far as I am aware, there is no law out there in Indiana or at the federal level that precludes you from beating yourself in the head with a frying pan for 3 hours on end. But that does not necessarily then mean that just because there's no law saying that you can't do it, that it's necessarily a smart thing for you to do. That you are automatically... that there's automatically going to be no consequences for you if you beat yourself in the head with a frying pan for 3 hours on end. Because we all know you shouldn't do it. I said before in a previous episode that just because you shouldn't doesn't mean it should be illegal. That when you conflate those two, it's actually very dangerous. When you conflate you shouldn't and it's illegal, it should be illegal to do so, you start to get into very dangerous territory. And it's kind of going the other way too. You could say that looking to the law, the human-made secular law of any country for your only source of moral guidance is inherently going to lead you into very dicey territory. It is inherently going to leave you with a very imperfect moral compass because our system of justice, our way of viewing justice, while our concept of justice originally comes from God, it is flawed because we are humans in a fallen world. And because our laws, as I said before in a previous episode, an unbiased human is as common in the wild as a vegan cat. Which then means that all of our laws, which are written by humans, will inherently have biases in them. Because humans are biased. That's the way it is. So if you look to the law as your only source, the secular law of any country, as your only source of moral guidance, you will end up in some pretty dicey territory. And so, you could end up with thinking that, I don't know, just because there's no law saying you can't cut your leg off, then you Go ahead. You should be able, you should cut your leg off. Go for it. Even though we all know that you should never cut your leg off. Unless you are in a life or death situation and there is no help, no prospect of help, and that is the only way you're going to keep yourself from dying, you should not do that, obviously. And even then, you will still probably run the risk of dying because, let's face it, you are not a doctor. And even if you were, removing your own leg would be extremely difficult. I know I just belabored that analogy, but you get the idea. In fact, that should probably help you get the idea that just because there's no law saying you shouldn't do something, that does not automatically mean that it's automatically not wrong to do that thing and that there will be no consequences. And so it's the same thing here. Not saying that the government should ban you from going into a bunch of debt because you want fast food or you want a new PlayStation. But just because the government shouldn't, you know, force you to not do that does not necessarily then mean you should go into all that debt to get those things that you don't really need. And so when we incentivize people to do stuff like that, it is very, it's very bad for them. Not only financially, obviously, but also just it sends the wrong message. And people, a lot of the left likes to say, oh, what if it doesn't affect you? Then why are you worried about it? Well, here's the thing. No man is an island. If we live in a community, children learn by example. And also, people are affected quite a bit by their community, whether they acknowledge it or not. We all hear the saying, monkey see, monkey do. I'm not going to get into the rabbit hole that could lead us to, because you know my thoughts on evolution. I did a whole episode on it called Evolution is a Lie, and if you want to hear more about that, go check it out. Anyhow, the point is, leaving the monkeys out of it, the point is that a lot of people will not admit that they will follow what the group says, but a lot of people will. So if the community, and that doesn't just mean only actions either, a lot of people will assimilate to whatever community they're in and the values thereof. And therefore, if your community's values are all materialistic, and all about me, all about self-interest, all about convenience, if that's the way the community wants to live, well, then even people who were not originally headed down that path, at least some of them anyway, are going to kind of assimilate, for lack of a better word, to that value system of their community. Because people are social, they like to fit in. They like to, you know, in Rome, do as the Romans do. We all have heard that saying. So, and I've heard others say that this model promotes laziness. Yes, it does. And yes, these companies already charge you an arm and a leg because they already charge you like a delivery fee, a service fee, a toothbrushing fee, a jumping up and down fee. Well, maybe some of those are made up, but you know what I mean. They charge you like 8,000 fees so that by the time you've ordered, your food costs like 5 times more than it otherwise would, especially too when they want the tip. And I'm also going to get into tipping real quick after I get through this, because I've already heard, you know, those things have already been pointed out that this model promotes laziness, and it also, even without the buy now, pay later stuff, the delivery services cause your food to cost a bazillion dollars. You would think that the delivery companies were the ones tasked with paying off the national debt. I've made that joke before. However, what I'm going to say too is I think this is just another symptom of a much larger problem. People want to take and they don't want to give. And I'm sure that's always been a problem to some extent or another, but I've noticed it a lot now. In the last administration, you had millions of illegals coming over here. And even though some of my ancestors had to learn English, not all of them, some of them did. And whether they had to learn English or not, all my ancestors had to work over here. They didn't come over here and get the red carpet treatment. And as far as I'm aware, none of my ancestors just walked over here. As far as I'm aware, my ancestors had to follow a process to get in here, this country. They had to legally get in here. So, in the last administration, you had people that not only would they just walk in illegally, then they'd go to these cities. These cities would treat them like kings. They'd put them in these nice hotels, and then they would feed them. And even after all that, you'd have some of these people complaining that, oh, that food's not good enough. Oh, I don't like that because I'm vegetarian or I'm this or I'm that. Even though most of the countries that these people were coming from were dirt poor. So you'd have these people that would just walk in here and then they would get all that assistance, if you want to call it that, complain that it wasn't good enough, complain the housing wasn't good enough, complain the food wasn't good enough. A lot of them didn't want to work. Not all of them. I'm sure some of them work hard, but a lot of them did not want to work. So they would also want to collect, you know, money on top of that. And they complained that what they were getting wasn't good enough. And so when I say that, you know, it should be the same for everyone, that's not racist at all. In fact, that's what I'm saying, is that it should be the same for everyone, no matter what color you are, no matter where you come from. If you come over here, you should have to work. You should have to do something with yourself. We should not roll out the red carpet for you. We shouldn't treat you like garbage, but we shouldn't roll out the red carpet for you. And we have legal channels for a reason. You shouldn't just be able to walk in here illegally. And thankfully, that's gone way down now, but still, that's still a thing that happened in the last time, and there's nothing that says it can't happen again, unfortunately. So, I mean, you still, having opinions about this is not, it's not pointless right now. Like, it's not a null and void issue, it's not moot, because it can happen again. So this whole culture of just wanting to take, and not want to give, and or you just want everything now. Actually, it's kind of a blend of those things. They just want to take, they want everything now. I've heard it mentioned that it's laziness. I think that's part of it too. People seem to be incapable of thinking in the long run, or at least unwilling to do so. And so even things like this buying now and paying later stuff and taking out debt for things you don't need that are going to cost you more in the long run, these people, they don't seem to care about that because it's like, well, I get it now. Like, all they can think about is now. I want this thing now. And actually, that then leads me to, it would not surprise me if there is at least some overlap between the people who use these existing services and or will use the DoorDash service when it's rolled out. Would not surprise me if there's at least some overlap between those people and the people who take out student loans and then expect them to be forgiven by the government, or who take out credit card debt and then don't want to pay it, get mad that they have credit card debt even though they're the ones that took it out. Would not surprise me if there's overlap there. It probably wouldn't be one-to-one overlap. In fact, I know it wouldn't be because I know people who never, as far as I know, never went to college and spend like that. Which I know that that's their money, but as I said, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you shouldn't doesn't mean the government should necessarily step in and make it a crime to do so. Because when you say that, you get into really dangerous territory. So those are basically my thoughts. And then I'd like to mention another thing that I never quite understood, which is I never understood the idea of wanting to blame people from a different time and or a different place for not adhering to the same beliefs or practices that you would in your country in the present day. So, speaking of immigration, first, it's like, yes, the Indians, they walked over here at one point. Don't know exactly when, because people try to put it as like so many thousands of years ago, but the Earth as we know, the universe as we know, is obviously only 6,000 years old. So when they came over here exactly is unknown and probably irrelevant. But the point is that they came over here, they walked over here probably from, it's believed, Siberia. Wherever it was, you know, they did not just pop out of the ground here. They were not here at the time of Adam and Eve. But when they did come, they did not have immunity to the diseases that Europeans brought. So while there may have been some cases where Europeans purposely made Indians sick, the truth is, in most cases, the Europeans that came over here did not know that they were spreading diseases. So you hear the left who will say, oh, well, the Europeans, they came over here and they purposely exterminated the people with smallpox or whatever. And it's like, no, not exactly. They didn't treat them that great. Yeah, I'll give you that. But war throughout history did not involve treating a lot of people great. Remember that the Geneva Conventions were a pretty recent thing. And even those aren't always followed. Throughout most of history, war was a bloody, cruel affair. And it still is, just not as much as it was back then, at least as far as we know. But the point that I'm more trying to get at here is that the Europeans usually did not mean to make the people sick. They did not know that germs were a thing, because germ theory was not discovered until the 19th century. Back in the 1500s and 1600s, when the Europeans came over here, a lot of people still believed in humors, and a lot of people didn't know where most of their organs were. People still called it a brain. People still use terms like brain fever. And hysteria. Seriously. Like, and I'm not saying seriously as in, like, that's my, like, as a comment word, like we usually do. Like to judge them, I'm saying they seriously used those terms. They didn't use them in a mocking manner. Those terms were seriously used as official medical terminology in those times. Because they did not have the medical knowledge we have now. And even the medical knowledge we have now is not perfect. And then you also will hear the left say, the early Europeans, they just walked in here. They didn't have laws about immigration. That's a bunch of baloney crap for the most part. Because usually when people would come over here, they had some form of documentation. When somebody would discover or settle a new area, a lot of times they would claim that land for Britain, Spain, whatever country they were claiming it for. A lot of people, when they came over, they had a charter. So, I mean, sure, it was not as sophisticated technologically as it is today, obviously, because, again, we're talking about the 1600s people. But they did still have order, they did still have laws when it came to who could come in and where they could live and what they, how they could get over here and all that. It also did help that there was more logistics in, built in, like intrinsically, or inherently, I should say, because you were crossing an ocean. You were going from Europe to the Americas. You couldn't just walk that. You had to cross the ocean. We all know that, but I'm just pointing it out for those who might be a little confused. But the point is that, you know, the left tries to apply modern standards to the past. They not only do that with immigration and the spread of disease, as I just pointed out, but they also try to do it with writers. They try to say that a writer should be canceled, not read anymore, because that writer believed things we no longer believe, or did not believe in things that people nowadays believe in. And so even setting aside, I'm going to give you a little thought experiment where we're setting aside the morality of it for a second, because let's face it, the morals that the modern left likes to judge the writers and artists and such of the past against are not biblical. So, I mean, if I were to open that can of worms, we'd be here all night. And I've already touched on a lot of those themes in other episodes, maybe even in this one a little bit. But what I'm going to point out here is more just the absurdity. And others have said that it's absurd, but I'm going to give you an actual analogy to consider that might help you understand just how absurd it is to judge present or to judge past people, writers, artists, thinkers, etc., regular people, based on modern standards. So imagine you have a country, and let's just call it A. The people of A do not believe in mountains. They either, and you can, we're going to make it a bit of a choose your own adventure here. So either they don't believe mountains are real, but they have a concept of mountains. So to them, mountains are like unicorns are to us. We have a word for a unicorn. Most of us can picture what a unicorn would look like, but none of us believes they're real. At least as far as I'm aware, there's nobody out there who seriously believes unicorns are real. And if you want to take it even further, if you want to have another choice, you can also choose to think of it as we can all picture the moon. We can all picture a unicorn. I'm sure if you think hard enough, you can picture a unicorn on the moon. But none of us seriously believes there are unicorns on the moon, or unicorns at all for that matter. Or your choice B, your choice two, because that was choice one, A and B, I guess, to make it easier for you. Choice two is the people of A not only do not believe that mountains exist, they can't even fathom the concept of a mountain. They have no word for mountain. They don't know what a mountain is. They literally cannot picture it. They have no way of comprehending what it is because it is so alien to them. It's even more alien to them than unicorns are to us, because at least we can picture what a unicorn looks like. It is mountains to them are, I can't even think of an example, because if I could, then it would have to be something that we had a concept for and we just, there's nothing like that. Mountains to them in this scenario are just, they have no They have no concept. They can't even, if you ask them, if you taught them English and you ask them to think of what a mountain would be, they would literally look at you like you had three heads and you just fell out of the sky and you were, and you had wings or you were green. They would look at you like you had three heads, you just fell out of the sky and now you're turning bright pink. That's how they would look at you. They would think you were weird if you tried to explain to them what a mountain is, because they literally cannot fathom it. Have I driven that home to you enough? Okay. So, whichever it may be, that either the people of A do not believe in mountains, in that they can picture what a mountain would be, but it's a fantastical concept to them, or B, I guess the country is called A in this scenario, but, or in the other option, they don't believe in mountains, not in the sense that they think the mountains are a fantastical concept like unicorns are to us, but in the sense that they literally cannot fathom the idea of a mountain. The concept, that they have no word for it in their language. The concept is completely incomprehensible to them. They literally cannot picture what it would be. Because it is unfathomable to them. In either scenario, let's say that whichever scenario you choose is the case in the year 1825, okay? Now we fast forward to this year 2025. Let's say that in this year 2025, all the people in the country of A believe in mountains. They know mountains are real. They know that mountains exist. Maybe they've even seen one. And they think they can't. They think it's dumb that the people 200 years ago did not believe mountains existed. They either can't imagine that people would ever not believe mountains exist, or they can't imagine it, but they laugh at it. They laugh at the idea that there was a time in their history when their people did not believe in mountains. Whichever that case may be. And let's say that the country of A in the year 1825 had some poets and writers and artists come out of it who, again, either thought mountains were a complete fantasy or had no ability to comprehend the idea of mountains, and in either case did not believe mountains exist. So those people published their work in the year 1825. So now the people of their country in 2025 decide, okay, well, we can't read their work, we can't admire their art, because they didn't believe in mountains, and that's stupid. We can't tolerate that. They are judging their own, they're judging their own ancestors, and especially their own writers, artists, poets, etc., from 200 years ago, based on a standard that those people could not possibly meet, those writers, poets, etc., could not possibly meet, because they lived 200 years ago and were therefore armed with the information, the values, the ways of life that they were exposed to that existed in their time. They are being judged by a standard that is literally impossible for them to meet because they are gone. They lived 200 years ago. That's essentially what the left does when they try to act like we have to cancel all the historical figures who believed stuff that the left now considers to be, or even that most of us on any side of the spectrum would consider to be problematic or know to be patently untrue now. They are judging past historical figures based on a standard that those figures could never hope to meet, because any generation that lives, any person who lives, is going to only be armed with the information, the ideas, the ways of life, the language, the stuff that they know, the stuff that exists in their time. So I'm sure that people 300 years from now are probably going to look at us, no matter what side of the political spectrum we're on, and judge us for some things we say and things we do. Surely we wouldn't like that, would we? We wouldn't want to be expected to meet a standard we literally could not meet, because it is set by people who live in a different time and different circumstances that are not our own. So that might help you understand just how ridiculous it is when people judge figures of the past or societies of the past based on modern standards. And then the other thing I never understood was this idea of trying to say that by denying that something exists, that you hate that thing. That never made sense to me. And here's why. Because while I know we often will say, oh, I hate broccoli, I hate this, I hate that, when what we really mean to say is, I don't like broccoli, I don't like this, I don't care for that. And I'm actually getting better about that, by the way, but I think we all have to work on that to some extent or another. But when you actually say, I hate broccoli, and you mean, I hate broccoli, what you are saying is, I wish broccoli did not exist. I wish that something ill would befall it and cause it no longer to exist. I wish that a blight would come upon it, or I wish that someone would kill it all, or that animals would eat it all, or in some way that broccoli would go extinct and we'd have no more broccoli. That's what you're saying when you say, I hate broccoli. You're saying that I dislike this thing so much that I want it gone. I do not want it to exist anymore. And not only do I not want it to exist anymore, usually you don't mean I just want to snap my fingers and it not be here. Usually you mean, if you really hate something, you mean I want it to not exist anymore, and I want either to be myself involved, or for someone or something else to be involved in actively making sure that it doesn't exist. I want it to die, essentially, is what you're saying. When you say, I hate something, you are essentially saying, I dislike it so much that I want it gone, and I want it gone violently. I want it to die. That is essentially what you are saying. If you hate, for example, if you hate a house, if there's a house that you literally hate, you are not just saying, I want to snap my fingers. At least, that's how I interpret it, at least. Now, there might be some people who are a bit more lax on this, and they might interpret it to mean that you just don't want that house to exist anymore. Whether it means that you can snap your fingers and it not be there, or that something actually happened to it. But the way I always have interpreted it, when you say that there's a house that you hate, what you are saying is, you not only want that house to quit existing, you want it to burn down, or you want somebody to tear it down, or you want to pull it down. You want it actively destroyed. And so, because of that, I then never understood, still don't understand, probably never will understand, the people who say that by denying the existence of something or someone, which, how do you deny the existence of somebody? I've never heard somebody say, oh, this person doesn't exist. Like, I've never actually heard somebody say that. And if you interpret say, a failure to affirm as denial of a person's existence, then that means a failure to understand basic language. That's the only thing I can think of. It's the most charitable thing I can think of. Anyhow, if you deny the existence of something, then that, to me at least, that logically means you're not hating it, and you can't hate it. Because, as I just explained, if you hate something, you want it to not exist anymore. And generally, you want it to not exist anymore in the sense that you want it actively destroyed by you or somebody or something else. So, therefore, if you dislike something so much that you want it to no longer exist and you want it to be destroyed, you want it to no longer exist because it's been destroyed, then logically, you can't hate something by denying that it exists. Because if you deny that it exists, then you can't wish it no longer existed. Those would be two mutually exclusive states of being, to get philosophical here. If I deny that a couch exists, you know, if I say, that red couch doesn't exist, and I hate that, I don't want that red couch to exist. To be more concise, if I say, that red couch does not exist, but I wish someone would destroy that red couch. Well, then I've just contradicted myself. Because by wishing that couch to be destroyed, I am implicitly admitting that it exists. And since when you hate something, you are wishing its destruction or death, then you are then admitting, whether you say the word hate or you just wish the destruction or death on the thing, by saying anything of that sort, you are implicitly admitting that it exists. So if you deny that it exists and then implicitly admit that it exists, then you have just contradicted yourself. So that means that logically, you cannot hate something and deny its existence at the same time. It's mutually exclusive. You can't do that. Now, I'm sure some people will try, because after all, I did two whole episodes on logical fallacies and I just scratched the surface. But then that does mean that you are committing a logical fallacy, because you are contradicting yourself. You are arguing against yourself by denying the existence of something and hating it. So therefore, you can't do both. To go even deeper, if you accuse me, which, as far as I know, nobody has specifically done this to me yet, but I've heard it said about conservatives that by denying, quote-unquote, denying the existence of people, that's hating them, which I've not heard any conservatives deny that somebody exists, as I just pointed out. The closest examples that I've heard is people saying, oh, you're denying the existence of somebody by failing to affirm that person's decisions, which is not denying existence. It's just denying that you support a decision that person makes, or a series of decisions, which is not the same thing as denying that the person exists, which is another topic for another day. But essentially, you know, I've heard conservatives then accused of hating somebody by denying that person's existence, which, as I just said, you're not denying that person's existence. But even if you were, I just pointed out that it is logically impossible to hate something, or someone for that matter, while also denying the existence of a person or thing. Because, as I said, in order to hate something or someone, you have to wish that person or thing's destruction or death. You have to wish that that person or thing no longer existed, and that the person or thing was actively killed or destroyed to make that person or thing not exist anymore. That you didn't, not just that you could snap your fingers and it it, he, she, whatever, disappear. So, because that's the case, because hating something or someone involves wishing an end to that person or thing's existence, well then, denying that that person or thing currently exists cannot logically be hatred. Because in order to deny that something or someone exists, you have to, in order to hate that person or thing, you have to implicitly admit that that person or thing exists. So then if you deny the existence of that person or thing, you are contradicting yourself, because you can't deny the existence of something and then admit the existence of the same thing in the same sentence. It just logically does not work. So, thank you for listening to this episode. I know it's a bit long-winded, but these are some deep topics we got into today. So, I hope you enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page, Jesse's Fireside Chats, and on X, JFSC Pod. Or you can send me an email if you feel so inclined at jessiesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. Thank you so much. Please pass this along to anybody who might be interested, and have a blessed day and come back next time.